The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome back to God Calling. Our guest today has another interesting path to the priesthood. We've talked to several priests who have, some have had an immediate call, but a lot of people a winding path, and ultimately it led to what God was calling them to do. And of course, on our vocation show, God Calling, that's what we're exploring, and that is Father Bill Smith. Father is at Our Lady of Grace in Hinckley right now. Father, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much.
You were ordained in May of 2003. But before that, you had an interesting career having to do with healthcare. Tell me about that.
Well, actually, we started out before healthcare. And in my high school days, I ended up going to Max Hayes Vocational High School in Cleveland due to the fact that my goal was to never go back to school again once I graduated from high school. And but then when I graduated from high school, I ended up working at St. Alexis Hospital in the maintenance department, and I got to know, see the patients and people taking care of them, and I had a friend of mine that talking about playing softball with, I played softball with, who is the head of the inhalation therapy department over at Charity, and I played with him when I was a kid, because I used to hang around at the baseball field over at St. Joseph's Franciscan is where I used to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so one day, I said, do you have a job, and on that time, inhalation therapy, a lot of it was on-the-job training. And so he said, yeah. And so I went over, and I got a job there and started working in inhalation therapy, ended up going to school for it. I'd first become certified, then registered. Then I'm like, wow, this can't be the end of my career. I'm only in my early 20s, so I looked around and I saw that, there was a field called nurse anesthesia. And so I ended up going to nursing school, hopefully get accepted in anesthesia school, which I did. And I became a nurse anesthetist in 1987 and started working, doing anesthesia. But the religious aspect of it came, as I look back on it, I was a kid, like I said, in the 60s, and, I hung out around St. Joseph Franciscan Parish, mostly by the softball diamond, and again, I started getting involved with the parish as a teenager. At first, I was a server, and then it was a small parish, so I ended up becoming one of the ushers.
Mm-hmm.
They had the little bingo game, so I was a bingo caller back in the early days, and helped out with the festivals. And it was, St. Joseph's was a Franciscan parish, the Franciscan Fathers, the OFMs. And I used to, they had a couple of priests who were older who couldn't be really sent out on their own. In case my brothers or I would go with one of them to downtown if they want to do some shopping or that, to be with them so they wouldn't get lost, so to speak. But nobody ever mentioned, I don't think, anything about a vocation in priesthood or anything at that time. Because it was right after Vatican II, so there was a lot of things going on at the time. So.
Sure.
But then once I finished my medical training in anesthesia, I moved into North Royalton, and start driving by St. Albert's the Great, and you know, and end up joining the parish, and met one of the parochial vicars or associate pastors at the time, Father Robert Wisniewski, and him and I became friends, and I started helping him out with the youth group. It was called YOSA, Youth of St. Albert, and became a Eucharistic minister. Started getting involved in the festival and other things, and ended up being the head of the golf league for a while. But and then to me one day, he's like, you know, you love serving God by being at the parish, and you love taking care of people. Why don't you look at the combination?
So, mm-hmm. Well, that's kind of the old Beatles song, right? A long and winding road. I think it was. But how important, Father, even at your early years, is that immersion in parish life? And you see the joy that people get out of the service that that priests and nuns and lay people offer. How important was that in infusing the vocation in you?
Well, I think every time you did something, or you know, I mean, one, you felt good for doing it. And two, you know, you've got about a positive response the majority of the time. Occasionally you get a negative response, but that comes along with the territory. Knowing that how do you know you're pleasing God? Well, you don't. But as long as you know you're trying to please God, does please God.
Okay. In these days and times of COVID, your health background, because later on you were at St. John Medical Center for a number of years on the west side out in Westlake, does that training or that experience help you in dealing with people as they struggle to to worship just to get to church, and then B, some are sick or have had family members die? How important is that these days?
I mean, I think it's important due to the fact that I can probably relate to where they're at and if with their medical condition, and seeing a number of people with this type of conditions, and that you've learned to probably be with them in that area spiritually. I mean, knowing where they're at, and you know, you go from being a chaplain at a hospital, you go to the people who they're quite angry. They're like, "Well, God's not listening to my prayers because I'm here in the hospital sick." And my question was, "Well, what are you doing here?" And they're like, "Well, I'm trying to get well." "Well, who's taking care of you?" "Well, the doctors and the nurses." "Well, who do you think sent them?" You know, they're like, "Oh,
yeah." You make a point. You make a very good point.
So,
is that always received very well?
Yeah, no, then you had those that, you know, have, you know, finally, you know, maybe prompted them that they had been away from the church and from God for a while, that this illness is kind of like, well, maybe I should get my act together.
Mm-hmm.
And so you went to visit them, and they're like, "You know, Father, I haven't been to the Sacrament of Reconciliation in a number of years."
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, "Well, welcome back." And they're like, look at me like, "Well, you're not going to yell?" "No, no, why should I yell at you? You know, it's welcome on back." And then I'm like, I look at it as one of my favorite gospel passages was the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's ultimate forgiving. And I think a lot of times when people who especially been away for a number of years see that,
mm-hmm,
or even experience that.
We're going to take a break right here, Father. Father Bill Smith is our guest, Our Lady of Grace in Hinckley. I'd like to talk about your parish, Father. It's a unique parish, and I've done some investigating on it, and I'm really impressed. So let's talk about that when we come back right after this on God Calling. This is AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Father Bill Smith is our guest. Father, I kind of diverted onto COVID and your medical background, but we had taken you up to the time of the seminary. How did the seminary enrich you? Were there struggles? Were there doubts? Or did you just realize you had heard the call of God?
When I got to the seminary, it was Father John Loya, who was the spiritual director of the seminary. I think he laid it out, I think, the best way I could think. He says, you know, you go year by year, you give it your entire, you give it all for the year. And at the end of the year, you kind of evaluate, is there something calling me away? Or is it calling me to stay? And I never found anything to call me away.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, okay, you know, so put it for another year. And, And as I talked about in my vocation talks, when we're seminarians going out to the community, at the different parishes, and, you know, giving our talks, you know, it was always like, one always asked the trick question, I says, who has a vocation? And nobody would raise their hand. And I'm like, well, everybody has a vocation. Mm-hmm. Not all at the priesthood. I mean, the vocation of marriage, single life, I mean, there's a number of vocations, you know. But I says, you know, going to the seminary, though, is, you know, a lot like dating. I mean, just because you go to the seminary, you don't mean you're going to get, you know, you're going to become a priest. Like, dating somebody doesn't mean you're not going to get married. You're going to marry that person. So, you know, it's a way to, you know, to test the water, so to speak, and see how it fits.
What advice would you give to a young person who maybe is considering some kind of a religious vocation?
The first thing I would probably like to tell them would be to, you know, talk to a priest, talk to a seminarian. We have a great vocation director now, Father Mike McCandless. He's very open, and he's very young and enthusiastic, and I'm sure he would do fantastic. I mean, he talked to me, but me being an older candidate, I have more of a view from the older side of the other side of it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I was my first year into seminary, Father Bob Steck was a vocation director, and he at the time he had the Universe Bulletin, the paper for the diocese. Right. And he had them do an article comparing somebody who came from the working world into the seminary compared to somebody who comes straight from high school.
Mm-hmm.
And we did the article, and, you know, there's a little bit of difference, and especially somebody a little bit older. I mean, we come with a lot more life experience. Maybe our educational skills are a little more lacking than somebody who's been used to studying for 12 plus years straight in a row. I think the educational part may be a little more difficult, but I think we make up for it hopefully in that, you know, life experience and having common sense and things of that nature.
I do a lot of eye rolling when I'm talking to younger people, Father. It's probably not a very Christian thing to do, but I don't know. I think you get to a certain point in your life and you kind of go in the room and oh, I see what's going on here, and the dots just connect easier. Is that making any sense to you?
I think meeting with people, I tend to can understand a little bit where a lot of them are coming from. Since I, you know, outside of that marriage aspect, I've been in the world,
mm-hmm.
So I kind of can, you know, empathize where they're coming from, not maybe not having the same exact experience. Whereas I think a younger priest, I mean, they have all the great book knowledge, but I think, and they'll get the experience once they're out there. I mean,
oh, sure.
It all comes quickly, so it's not like something going to be lacking all their lives. So,
what are the most challenging and I guess rewarding aspects of the job? I mean, you know, you got to have a budget. You got to all kinds of stuff you have to do, and you have to raise money, and you got to pay the bills along with the community part of it, the spiritual part of it. There's a lot of demands on pastors.
Yeah, there is. It's but luckily is, you know, it's even though I am the only priest here at Our Lady of Grace in Hinckley, I have a great staff, and, you know, we got you know, great finance council, and we're all willing to help to work to you know, build a parish.
Mm-hmm. And in today's days and times, with many priests being the only ordained person on staff, you need the lay involvement.
Yeah, you do. You really do. It's
so you have to engage people, I suppose.
I know. It's you know, it's, they say, well, you know, some parishes are like, hey, if, you know, Father, we should do this. I'm like, okay, are you going to get involved in it? No. I said, no, we want you to know. I said, well, I wish I could if I had the time, but.
I ran into that. I was the head of an athletic booster club one time years ago, and I was like, hey, you know, next year you guys should. I bit my tongue, Father. I didn't say anything, but there are days when I felt like it. There's no question about it. But what I'd like to talk about as we come back is your parish. I was very impressed by the bulletin, the grounds, and it's got a theme, and I'd like to chat about that as soon as we come back, if that's okay with you. If you can stick with us, and I hope all the listeners stick with us as well. We'll be back in just a moment with Father Bill Smith of Our Lady of Grace in Hinckley. Right after this, you're on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. We are back on God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. Father Bill Smith is with us from Our Lady of Grace in Hinckley. And Father, I mentioned before we went to the commercial break that I'd reviewed your bulletins. Let's really start there. Very spiritual, lots of reflections. And it was a holiday bulletin. I don't know if it was unusual for that particular, I think it was the 27th. But a lot of thought went into it. And how much of that is you? Do you have other folks contributing? Tell me about it, because I really enjoyed it.
I'm really the only part I'm really in charge of just overlooking it. And, my article I write try to either talk about what's going on with the parish or maybe write something about the week ahead, and, you know, or what the readings talk about that weekend. You know, it depends on what's going on in the parish. But I think a lot of majority of it is due to my secretary, Mary Dzikowski. She's more or less in charge of the bulletin, and she puts it together every week, and she does add a lot of things to it for, you know, reflections and prayers, and which is, you know, I find good myself. It's always helpful. And as being a smaller parish, sometimes to fill a bulletin with things, and maybe at times not much is going on as compared to one of the larger parishes in the diocese where, you know, like they're having 48 different functions in, you know, meeting room C. You know, we're not, you know, we have 600 families here and hopefully grow some with some new construction in that. But it's, you know, so, you know, we put the bulletin together. We, you know, a lot of things people can pray about and different things, you know, prayerful things going on in the area.
Well, people are at different points in their lives, maybe a medical emergency, maybe a marriage, a joy. You know, so, but there was a lot in there. And I would, like I say, tell Mary, I really enjoyed it. I really liked it. You know, parish to parish, I've noticed different devotions mainly are a lot of times to the saint that the parish is named after. Yours, the Triumph of Two Hearts. Can you explain that?
If you ever come out to our shrine, I don't know if you've ever been out here, it's a two-heart shrine.
Yes.
It's the heart of Mary and Jesus connected together, and you know how they were connected together at birth and throughout their whole life, and actually we could probably put ourselves in that aspect of being our hearts connected to Mary and Jesus also. And it's a quiet place to go to pray, to... you know, there's candles up there, votive candles. Some during the summer, our group that does the rosary, they meet up there instead of the church. They meet here in the church during the winter. But they meet up there on Thursday evenings and say the rosary. And, you know, people go up there all the time, every day, to spend some time up there. I mean, there's walking stations of the cross also in the grounds, you know, and a crucifix also, or a cross. Large cross also stands off by itself also.
In doing some more reading, I saw the whole shrine was the idea of a parishioner that the parish kind of picked up the idea and ran with it years ago.
Yeah, that was Father William O'Neill, who was my pastor, MCM, the second pastor after him. Mm-hmm. And it was Father O'Neill, Father Metcher, then myself. So he... had him built, and actually the person that did it was still taken care of, but I think the person now is either a senior or is no longer with us or moved out of the area. I can't remember what, but I know we still continue to take care of the shrine up there. We, you know, my maintenance, we take maintenance. In fact, we have one volunteer there. I think he kind of made his whole mission to take care of that shrine, which he's doing a great job of.
Yeah. What are you noticing in the younger people in the parish, Father? What are you seeing in them?
Not having a school, but having, we do have a PSR program.
Sure.
It's, you know, I said, it's a smaller parish. You know, we don't see a number of children. But I'm always encouraging the young ones with the parents, and, you know, to bring them. I says, you know, and they're like, well, my kid, you know, makes so much noise. I'm like, well, that doesn't bother me, really. I mean, if you actually think about you know, Christ being born in a stable, or where the smells and the noises going on, or actually when they're, you know, probably the first, you know, services and that. I mean, animals running around and everything else. I mean, children, a child screaming is great noise to me. In fact, I sometimes get in, I kind of sometimes join in with them to comment on it along the way.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're like, they'll scream, "Oh no!" And I'm like, "Ah, you know about me already."
Go with the flow, right, Father?
Right. You just go with the flow. You know, it's all you can do.
Yeah,
but yeah, but it's you know, I try to encourage kids, the young ones. A lot of these small ones, I've kind of formed some bonds with, you know, a little bit. They come up to communion with the parents, come up with their children, and I'm like, you know, give them a little blessing, and I'm like, "How you doing?" And they come with just like kind of smile from ear to ear.
Yeah.
You know,
it's got to be rewarding to see.
It is. It really is, you know, and I enjoy doing it, and it's fun. It really is. And I think it gives them reason to come to church, and you know, and it's, you know, I had one family, unfortunately I haven't seen him since the COVID, but I understand it was they had this one little girl who, as soon as she heard my voice, she's like looking over mother's shoulder like, "Where is he? Where?"
Do you think it's going to be difficult to reestablish regular attendance, Father? It's awful convenient to watch on TV, and
that is true. And
at my parish, we have a drive-up tent after Mass for communion, but that's, it's maybe too easy.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen, and I've been somewhat trying to prepare the people by saying, I says, you know, we have this dispensation to come, you know, don't have to come to Mass, but I says, you know, I hope the reason you're not coming is because of COVID or some legitimate reason, and then just saying, "Hey, I got a free pass."
Yeah, right.
And, you know, that's the ones I worry about. They say, "Hey, I got a free pass. I don't have to be there." So,
Well, Father, thank you very much for joining us. I appreciate your perspectives on a number of topics. I really appreciate it, and your call to your vocation after the long and winding road that I referred to. And certainly, our diocese is blessed by your calling. So, thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you very much, Paul. This was great talking with you.
You too.
And, you know, I expect to get a call from Paul Orlowski. I've been in the city for a number of years. It's like, what did I do now?
You know? You did great. That's I can attest to that. Thank you very much, Father.
You take care.
God bless. Enjoy your day. Well, this is Paul Orlowski, and we're talking to some great people here, not chasing anybody down the street, just having a wonderful conversation on our show. It's called God Calling. It's on every week at this time right here on AM 1260, The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Thanks for joining us.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God Calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations, from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.